While a statewide anti-discrimination statute is getting more attention as a way to boost Wyoming's economy, it's not a new idea. Over the last 10 years, a bill has been proposed in the state legislature at least six times. Wyoming Public Radio's Tennessee Watson talked with LGBTQ Wyomingites about how the lack of protection contributes to an overall climate of instability and fear.
There are two communities in Wyoming with anti-discrimination ordinances, Jackson and Laramie. Outside city limits and across the rest of the state, LGBTQ individuals who face discrimination aren't protected by the law. But that didn't stop Cassie Willingham from moving back to her hometown of Rock Springs after a few years in Colorado.
It's always strange having to come out again and again and again.
As she settled back into Wyoming, people she met asked if she was married and what her husband's like.
And every time you have to say, I'm actually married to a woman, and then people mull it over for a second. And 99% of the time, they're super kind. It's like, oh, cool.
But a recent interaction made Willingham think twice about being so forthcoming. She and her wife got married at the courthouse back in February, but decided to save up money before throwing the big party. In early September, they decided it was time to start planning.
Yeah, and I got, like, weirdly obsessed. I wanted to have my wedding at this place. It was beautiful. It's, like, top-rated on all of the wedding websites. I was, like, set on having my wedding there and figuring out how to make it happen.
Willingham called the Diamond Cross Ranch in Teton County and left an enthusiastic message.
And I did mention that we were in a same-sex couple, and I even said, like, if that's a problem, let us know.
Later that night, Jane Gallagher called her back.
I answered the phone and she was the most cheery, sweet sounding woman. And she just kept going on and on about how she was so excited that we loved the ranch.
And then the conversation turned.
She wouldn't say the words, but she said, I'm so glad that you thought to ask us your question. And I was like, And she said, and unfortunately, we just cannot endorse that. And I just sat there with a lump in my throat. I didn't want her to know how much it affected me. And I just said, oh, okay.
She hung up the phone.
It was like a two-minute conversation probably. And that was that. We knew they didn't want us.
I reached out to Jane Gallagher, but she didn't respond to my calls. Instead, I heard from her son, Peter Long.
We very much welcome everyone at the ranch.
Long, who's the head of events, told me he hadn't talked to his mom about what she'd said to Willingham, but he was adamant that he was speaking on behalf of the Diamond Cross Ranch as a whole. Yet he wasn't aware of any same-sex marriages the ranch had hosted in the past. Straight brides call up anxious about whether the venue will be available on their date. They don't think about whether their love will be called into question. But for Willingham, planning the big day now had a whole other layer of stress.
We wanted to support Wyoming. We did. But it's too much and it's too painful to try to vet people for homophobia, honestly.
Colorado has a statewide anti-discrimination statute, so she'll get married there next September. In Wyoming, there's more than just wedding venues at stake. LGBTQ folks are also at risk of losing their jobs and their housing.
Hello. Hey, I'm Tennessee.
Melinda, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Come on in.
Melinda and Heidi welcome me into their cozy home not far from downtown Cheyenne, given the stakes they've asked to go by first names. The house is everything they wanted. It's dog-friendly, well-cared for, and affordable. But Melinda says they aren't sure how their landlord feels about renting to two women in love.
They honestly seem like cool people, and I don't think they would have an issue, but I just don't want to risk it.
So they figured out a plan.
Well, we have another roommate who's a guy. So if it ever gets brought up, we're kind of just like, one of us will just be dating Cole.
Thoughts of relocating to a place where they don't feel pressured to actively hide parts of themselves are unrelenting. But Heidi has a good job, and Cheyenne is Melinda's hometown, so for now, they're staying put. From their house, I head just down the street to the public library to meet up with Izzy, who also wanted to use only her first name. Izzy is a transgender woman, but she's not out at work.
They believe I am a gay man, which is about as much as I think they can handle.
She maintains that front because losing her job would put her entire family at risk.
My wife is permanently disabled. My daughter is disabled. So I basically take care of all these people, and I have to be careful.
Izzy ducks out of conversations at work when colleagues start sharing details about their personal lives, and she avoids public events. She isolates herself to reduce the risk of facing discrimination, or worse, violence.
People make threats. People say things on the internet. I don't know who's real or not. I'm not going to find out.
Izzy laments that for the sake of her safety, she isn't doing more to contribute to her hometown of Cheyenne. She misses getting out and volunteering.
I feel badly for her, her family, and the community.
That's Wyoming's House Minority Floor Leader Kathy Connolly, a tenacious supporter of anti-discrimination legislation year after year. Connolly was the first out state lawmaker, and what I shared of Izzy's story hit home.
That is not only exhausting, but it really detracts from one's quality of life as well as the ability to honestly be who we can be.
Connolly says that 20 years after the murder of Matthew Shepard, it's time for policymakers to send a message and put it on the books that the LGBTQ community and their contributions to Wyoming are valued. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.